Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. We just heard from Deepak Babani, a man who started his career in a three-bedroom apartment in Dera. Humble beginnings, growing into one of the largest companies in the region, a huge success story. And, you know, the thing about this region is it's so inspiring. I think you have stories like this on every corner. And I think for me, one of the big takeaways from that story is success is not a sprint. You know, when you start looking at your career or your business and start looking for big results in 12 months, 24 months, or 36 months, you know, when you look at the real pillars of the economy, these are success stories that have gestated over decades. These are people who have stuck in their careers, who stuck in their jobs over a period of 10, 15, 20, 25 years. And that's truly the case with Deepak, where he's been in the business for over 30 years, you know. So it's not like it's going to happen overnight. And this one of my favorite sayings is, you know, success is not a sprint. It's a marathon. You have to be in this for the journey is what they say. And it just comes over time and time again. And we're going to have a couple more success stories coming up. In fact, we have a man whose nickname is El Comandante, known to potentially wear Mexican wrestling masks in the office. It's Arto Yowensu, the chief executive officer of Dubizzle.com. What a success story, and may be the exact counter antithesis to what I just said. Success is basically over time. Here's a company that did it in less than a decade and is also a big success story. But you know, to my point, when we look at Arto's background, you will again see that he's been in digital marketing for years and years and years. It's not something that just happened overnight. So we're going to be looking at what it takes to make it in the dot-com game, what it takes to be a serial entrepreneur, what I call a cybernaut floating out there in cyberspace. There's money. Can you grab it? Do you know how to get it? We're going to find out. But just before that, we have a very special lady here in the studio who is making a difference in the community. Her name is Medea Nocentini. That's correct. If you guess, she is Italian. She's vice president of corporate development at OSN and founder and CEO of the social enterprise C3 Consult and Coach for a Cause. She also has an MBA in economics, finance, and business management from Columbia University, the business school in the United States. And she's a business strategist specializing in media and telecom. She's been working in Dubai for the last several years. And I always love stories of people who take time to give back to the community, give back to those who are less fortunate. Medea, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane. Thank you for having me here.
It's a pleasure. And for anyone who's joining us now, the best part of the show is it's interactive. You can SMS us at 4001. I know a few of you sent some questions when Deepak was talking. We didn't get a chance to field them, but Arto has sworn he is going to pick up the slack and he is going to answer those questions. So for those of you out there, we're going to be looking at some of the key questions you asked. But for now, Medea, just tell us, what is C3?
C3 is an enterprise that match corporate professionals with social entrepreneurs. And we basically support social entrepreneurs with knowledge sharing from the corporate world on a volunteer basis.
So basically, you are helping these kind of bohemian, hippie, love child people learn business techniques.
Absolutely. That's exactly
because, what we do. Their heart's in the right place, but you just need a little nudge to get their minds to follow.
Absolutely.
That's a really exciting thing to do. I mean, you're getting actually business people to interact with these NGOs. Is it a big problem? I mean, do a lot of the NGOs flounder because these people just don't understand cash flow? They just don't understand net present value. They're not calculating their EBITDA properly.
Actually, amongst our entrepreneurs, you do have a lot of different people. So you do have those EPs that I will say don't have a lot of business skills or experience. You do also have business people that want to make a difference and they kind of get a little bit lost in sectors like healthcare, the environment, kids, education, and so forth. So we kind of have a bit of everything. What we try to do, a sort of, we create a community where amazing individuals can collaborate on ground that is simple to manage, even for very busy professionals or for very busy entrepreneurs. So we create programs that allows them to interact in an effective manner.
So again, for those joining us here, it's an interactive show, so you can SMS us at 4001, or you can use your mobile app, which you can download from our website, DubaiEye103.com, if you want to interact with any of the presenters on any of the Dubai Eye 103.8 shows. Medea, what have been some of the big success stories where maybe, you know, an NGO was struggling to find its feet, and then your coaches came in and really allowed that NGO to take off and create the impact that we all desire?
We do have a lot of success stories. One that is one of my favorite is Palestyle. Palestyle is a fashion brand, actually, giving work and jobs to refugees in camps in Lebanon and Jordan. Embedding embroideries that are traditional from the basically Palestinian tradition into fashion items. So we started helping one of the co-founders, Zena, with some support on a few projects that they were trying to do with the refugees. For example, bringing water tanks, clean water tanks in refugee camps, fundraising for it. And then we ended up also helping them on getting their certification on social return on investment. And now we are supporting them with a lot of financial and investor pitching skills. They're going for funds, so it's quite of an exciting journey. They turn around, they're now ready for investments, and it's been an amazing collaboration so far.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned clean water tanks. I don't think so many of us realize that 2.5 billion people on the planet actually don't have access to clean sanitation. They actually do not have a toilet. And if you have a toilet, you're generally in the top 50% of the world's population. I mean, that is just a revolting fact that we sit here and talk about having a civilization when these kind of things go on.
And, absolutely.
And you're trying to put a dent in that, and I think that's commendable.
What we try to promote is the idea that business principles and business forces can actually make a scalable impact in those kind of communities. It's great to fundraise, it's great to donate, but bringing some business, injecting some business principles in this kind of solutions can actually help scale impact very quickly.
Well, I think it's such a good idea, because when you go to the community or you want to make a community impact, so often you can, you know, do the usual suspect, make a wish, do the UNICEF, et cetera, et cetera. But what better way to create an impact than utilize those professional skills that you have been nurturing and developing over decades?
Absolutely.
This is where you'd have the greatest impact, and this is also where you feel very natural.
Yeah, and that's where you can bring a lot of value. And it's also fun, because working with startups, in particular for a corporate professional, it's a lot of fun. It brings some spark in your, let's say, corporate life.
Brings a bit of something to look forward to, gives you your why, as some people say.
Yeah.
I actually worked with some investment bankers who in their spare time use their investment banking skill set to help pioneering markets structure debt to build infrastructure projects like electric plants and bring clean water on a large scale. So, you know, even the bankers can contribute. If
absolutely.
You can believe that.
Anybody can contribute, no matter what skills you have. And the interesting thing, when it's part of the success stories that I always bring up, is that a lot of the volunteers end up starting their social business at a certain point in time, a lot of them, or they join either the board or the team of entrepreneurs down the line. So it's quite inspiring to see those kind
way.
Of stories.
Some of the professionals actually quit corporate life altogether.
Absolutely.
To become the the Bohemian NGO leader. Is that how many people do that? How many times?
I'm not sure it's always as Bohemian as you might think. No, but it's quite hard work.
I know, I'm dramatizing it a little bit, but
anyway, let's put it like this.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, somebody who's making, say, $1 million as a banker is not really going to say, I'm going to give all of this up now, sell my Ferrari, and I'm going to go live in Afghanistan and help irrigate farms. I mean, how many people do that? How many people have you actually seen say, that's it?
Yeah, I would say the crisis helped. The financial crisis 2008 and 2009 brought some different perspective in the business world, and that's from where I got inspired to start something like this.
Are you going to quit OSN and do this full time? Is that what you're saying?
Not at all. So far,
David's listening.
So far, exactly. my boss came here not long ago. No, I love my job. I love the media space. But,
okay, of course. I'm just joking. So, but when you really look at this, you are now seeing the emergence of a triple bottom line. In fact, they're now saying in Harvard and the Ivy League business schools, maybe even Columbia, the professors are saying now the students themselves, it's taboo to say you want to make money. And the mantra that's being chanted in stereo throughout the halls of these top academic business schools now is that we want to create impact, we want to have a triple bottom line, we want to make a difference in the community, and they seem to abandon the traditional profit at any cost.
I would add a little bit of a cynical comment to this, which is actually social businesses are making a lot of business sense. Building a business that basically solve a very important need or a fundamental need, it's much more sustainable and might have a lot more success than what we call thin value, which is, let's say, a little bit of an improvement in life of customers, but not as much. So I think that business schools in their amazing way, they actually think about the future success of their students. So they're kind of promoting those ideas that they feel will bring success to their network of alumni.
I think as well, they saw in the crisis that those companies with strong CSR footprints actually fared better and recovered faster.
Exactly. And they're much more resilient to any type of volatile behavior of their business or any crisis. They are much more resilient, and in the long term they're more sustainable. That's what we really believe in.
Sustainability, which will be a challenge in these volatile markets. What does the NGO space look like in this region? I think it's much different than what we would maybe see in London or Italy or Canada, where I'm from.
Absolutely. You do have a lot of young entrepreneurs that start either NGOs or social enterprises because they see a lot of needs in their community. And the reality is there is not a region where it's as easy as elsewhere to fundraise for many different reasons. So to be sustainable, they actually have to look at other dynamics and other ways. So that's where we come from. Injecting some business principles will help. And vice versa, a lot of entrepreneurs in the region are surging, in particular in UAE, which is really an amazing country for entrepreneurs, very supportive and a lot of opportunities. So even there, it's easy to find entrepreneurs that are naturally going towards healthcare, education, and so forth.
So when you use the term entrepreneur, you're actually referring to social entrepreneurs, correct?
Yes, we as C3, we focus on social entrepreneurs. We organize workshops specifically for them. They have a little bit of a set of additional challenges than purely commercial ones. So we try to focus on those challenges that are not tackled by either supportive networks or initiatives. But anybody with an idea that solve a social issue with commercial or business method, we kind of try to support in the best way possible.
How can somebody get involved if somebody was listening now and they said, I want to be involved with C3, I either want to be a coach or I'm a social entrepreneur and I need a little help finding my next career milestone here. How would they get involved in C3?
The first step is to participate to one of our starter program. We have one in about 10 days on the 27th of September at In5 in Knowledge Village. In that occasion, we share the basics of social enterprise and we explain exactly how it works to volunteer for C3. Otherwise, it's a very flexible program, so you can just shoot an email, go on our website and send a message, and right away you can basically find somebody in need of either financial skills or legal skills or any type of knowledge, and you can just go for it.
What is the website address?
It's consultingcoachforacause.com.
consultingcoachforacause.com. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insight, and hats off to you for spending your valuable personal time on giving back to other people. I don't think people realize how much work goes into doing this kind of work. So hats off to you, and thank you again.
Thank you so much, Shane. A pleasure.